This is Night Call, nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight, music, voice of revolution. With guest, singer, pianist, entertainer, Nina Simone. Night Call is an open forum. Speak for yourself. Ask your own questions. Call Night Call Collect from anywhere in North America. From the East and Midwest, call 212-749-3311. From the West, 212-749-4300. And from the New York area, 866-5010. Now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. Tonight, my guest in the studio with me needs almost no introduction. She is Miss Nina Simone, the world-renowned performer, singer, and pianist. This time, of course, on Night Call, she will not be performing. She will be talking with us about her music, the meaning of her many songs. And as the new sound of music that has gone so far from pretty love songs, the sound of revolution. Are the songs we hear today about sex, drugs, and change the new trend in music, and if so, why? These are among some of the questions we're going to discuss with you, our listeners, and my guest tonight. And of course, as always, we will always welcome calls from our Night Call listeners to talk directly with Ms. Nina Simone. Nina, good evening.
Hello, Dan.
And thank you once again for being with us.
My pleasure.
Nina, I first would like to compliment you on the very, very excellent music spectacular that I saw in the NET Festival that I thought was just absolutely marvelous. I was just completely surprised with the manner in which they presented the show in the terms of just allowing you to kind of do your own thing. I think a far difference than what we generally see on American television and such. How did you feel about that show?
Well, when we made it in London last year sometime, I was glad of the opportunity to make a spectacular. We weren't here when it showed here, and except for an insert of an interview that we hadn't seen previously, and which, if I had seen, I probably wouldn't have allowed to be shown. I'm very glad it was received, as it has been received. Everybody seemed to have liked it. And that's it.
Well, it was so much of you in the terms of, and I hate to keep saying, like, doing your own thing, but it seems that most times when we look at spectaculars here in on American television, that everything seems to be so staged, but what we saw on that particular show was you as you are generally on stage, just free, beautifully communicating with the audience, and the audience receiving your message and responding by their warmth and by their applause, and I would suppose also by their own vibrations. And the message was always there, and I think that someone once said a long time ago that when you watch Nina Simone, it's always an experience. When it comes to the artists today, we find that more of the artists are becoming involved in attempting to alert America to the need for change, telling American people that there has to be a change, that we have to become more concerned with the right things to do. Is this really the artist's role, or is this something that the artists are just assuming on their own?
Well, I think... Well, it is my role. I wish it wasn't. It's something that I have chosen to do, and I have felt compelled to do it. I think that the artists who don't get involved in preaching messages probably are happier and use less energy. But since the stage is my life 90% of the time, I must use it to say the things that I feel. And let's face it, being colored is not easy. And so I have taken upon myself to do these songs. Again, I just feel compelled to make the stand that I have. Again, I have regrets about this at times because it is extremely demanding and the responsibility is outside. But again, I can't speak for other artists. I have to do what I have to do.
Well, does the seriousness of the message ever become lost because it's given in an entertainment context?
Not mine, because I am so serious about it all, and the audience seems to know this, so that if they happen to be entertained, I'm glad, and I guess it's fair that they should get a fair amount of entertainment, but it's more or less a stage for saying what I feel about the situations that are happening around me, you know?
Well, many of the younger performers today are becoming greatly involved in this area. The attempt to use the entertainment stage or use the entertainment vehicle to express themselves, express their feelings. Why are they doing this now?
Well, I think one of the reasons is because when you're on the stage, you have a captured audience. And since everyone agrees that the establishment and the social order, as we know it, has got to change, since everyone agrees, then it's kind of easy then to use the stage to tell about those changes or to expose the sicknesses and the weaknesses that we feel America has or the world has. I think that's why so many artists are doing it, because it's easy to do it that way. Again, you have a captured audience, you have the floor, and you have a chance to communicate what you feel to millions of people at one time. So they would be crazy if they didn't use the stage if it's that important to them.
Well, when you have the captured audience and the people respond during that 45-minute or an hour or an hour and a half performance, does it really affect them to the point that when they leave the captured site, when they're able to leave and walk out, do they carry whatever the effect is with them?
I don't know, Dale. I have no way of knowing that. I can only hope that out of the thousands who hear you, and maybe 100 or 200 at least are set on fire by what you say and carry something into their own lives after the night is over. But one has no way of knowing how many people one has really reached, one has really touched. And you really have no way of knowing how much they agree with you. For half of the time, people like you and listen to you because they are a fan. And if they're a fan, it's usually because they like your music, as differentiated from messages that you may be carrying, you know, that have nothing to do with love songs and things like that. I don't know how much I really reach people, especially with the protest songs. I get the feeling at times that it's much smaller than I imagine. I think that I have what you call a cult across the states, and now in Europe, are people who like me and like my songs, and well, you know, have their own reasons for liking me. But and I think I get a great deal of respect from these people because of my stand and the so-called revolution, which to me needs a new definition, a new defining. But I still have no way of knowing how much is because they just like me as an entertainer, or how much they agree with my views on things.
When you are interviewed, there's always, I would assume, the attempt of the writer or the reporter to try to find, as they say, like the real Nina Simone.
Yeah, they do it all the time. Pick in.
But is the question of your music, do they ever ask the question as whether or not the music that you offer, the songs, messages, whether this is really Nina Simone or is this just the actress Nina Simone performing in a particular context?
Do they ever ask that question? Yes, they do. They do. Not too often. But yes, they do. And now you want to know what my answer is?
Well, I know, Hammer. I'm a fan. So I know that when we see Nina Simone perform, that it is not. And I don't like to say perform. When we see Nina Simone on stage, we see Nina Simone.
Yeah,
the person.
Yes,
the
you
human
do.
Being,
yes,
the
you
woman.
Do. That's real. That's me.
And this is where the truth comes.
That's me there. Because that's where I live 90% of the time. I try not to sing anything I don't mean. And especially the protest songs. For you know how important they are. And, but, you know, words are something else, you know. They can hang you up so quickly. And, yes, I've been asked that, and I think it's a loaded question. You ask someone, are you acting or are you for real? 'Cause that's what you're asking. I try as much as I can to be as honest as I can, always, about my feelings. And again, I have to say that is in the light of what I consider my growing. I feel that I'm always growing. I'm trying always to grow. I had a high school education, Dell. And at the time that I graduated from high school, I thought I was big stuff. I was a valedictorian, and I had no way of knowing at that time that the education that I received was so little compared to what I would need to properly express myself as years went on. I am now more aware of that than ever, and it makes me quite sad because words are very powerful things. Especially if you know how to use them well. And I look, anyway, I just want to say that.
This is Night Call in New York, and we're going to ask our Night Call listeners to join us this evening with Miss Nina Simone. And Nina, we're going to take a call from Mrs. Parsons, who's hearing Night Call in Athens, Ohio. She's hearing Night Call over WOUB. Mrs. Parsons?
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. Your question, ma'am.
Yes, I wanted to ask, what does your guest feel about the new music, such as the psychedelic music and the use of light shows? And how does she feel in particular? She just spoke about protest songs and their importance. How does she feel about such protest songs and records as Hair? This is what I'm interested in.
Which protest song in Hair?
Well, there are several. I'm just speaking in particular to the one or the two which reverse sides as to the white girl and the black girl singing about their opposite sex of different colors, if you understand what I mean.
You mean black boys and white boys,
yeah.
That song?
Yeah.
That to me is not a protest song. It's just a song that you've never heard the likes of before. A group of white girls saying that they prefer colored boys and a group of colored girls saying that they prefer white boys, and that's all it is. Now, that's been going on for a long time, but you haven't heard it in a song. That doesn't come under my definition of protest. It's just kind of like it's saying what people feel about things, and someone having the nerve to put it in a show.
Yeah, that's more or less what I mean. I mean, just the fact that this is...
I think it's a good thing. I think that true feelings, and I think that, of course, the composers, it's their feelings. The singer is simply saying what you know is in the show. And everybody knows that this is a feeling of many people, and I think it's a good thing that it's been exposed in the show.
What I feel is that it is a protest song in respect to the fact that it is brought out in protest to what other people feel, if you understand. In this sense, I feel that it's a protest song. And just along with this type of singing and the vocabulary used in this record in particular, as well as others.
Did you see the show?
This new type of...
Miss Parsons? Yes? Did you see Hair?
No, I didn't see it. I've seen interpretations of it.
You should see the whole show. If that offends you in any way, you should see the whole show. They have a nude scene that's outside. And the whole show, to me, is just a happening that many hippies do what's in that show from beginning to end every day in the village. They just brought it to the stage. To me, it's only importance as a show lies in that it shows a part of life that is going on in the village now. To me, it has no importance other than that, the whole show.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ms. Parsons, thank you for calling. This is NyCall in New York. Our guest tonight is Miss Nina Simone, here with us in the studio in New York. We'll return following station identification. Stay tuned for the NyCall Network.
More NyCall with Del Shields and guest Nina Simone after station identification.
What do I really want? Well, the same things any man wants, black or white. I want a decent job. Same chance as any man to better myself, to get ahead. I want a home my wife won't be ashamed of. I want our kids to grow up as proud of being black as of being American. I want to be able to give them what they want, and maybe a little extra. If I don't get all the things I want, it should be because I failed, pure and simple, not because I'm black. I want nothing more than anyone else, but nothing less either.
It isn't easy to get by in the city these days, for blacks or whites. Our cities need help, your help. If you think there's nothing you can do to help, think harder. Send for the free booklet, The Turning Point. Write Night Call, Pomona, New York. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York. Speak for yourself from anywhere in North America to guest singer Nina Simone about music's role in social change. All Night Call collect from the East and Midwest on 212-749-3311. From the West, 212-749-4300. And from the New York area, 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
Mr. Sherman is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM here in New York. Mr. Sherman?
Good evening, Del.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Miss Simone.
Good evening.
Though it's perhaps slightly out of your field, is there any comment you'd like to make concerning other black people individually trying to make their involvement in mainstream activities as relevant as possible to the black communities?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Right.
Nina, is it the role of all artists to use their art or to use the stage to give their feelings about things?
I don't think so. I don't think it is. I think it's the role of an artist, as differentiated from an entertainer, to reflect some of the realities that he sees around him. Now, realities are many. Hundreds and thousands of realities are real from moment to moment at any given time. And depending on who the artist is and how he feels, I think it's his duty to reflect whatever these realities are around him that he chooses, you know, to express in his art. But I think that's what makes different artists. You know, like, take the painters, for instance. You can take 10, 12 painters. They all paint differently. They all see things differently, but they are all reflecting what is around them and what they consider reality. That, to me, is his role, but he is not necessarily, to me, an artist doesn't necessarily have to take a political stand or a stand like I have taken, you know, with the protest songs. To me, that's not necessarily his duty. But some type of reality that he lives in, to me, that he must reflect that. That's what makes him an artist. But again, I'm just saying that the choices are many of what he can say with his art. There are people who in the whole middle of this so-called revolution could get up there and talk about love, and because they live in a world that way, be just as valid and could capture you and move you just as much. I haven't seen any lately. But if that's the reality in the world in which they live, it is their duty to reflect it, to me. To me, that's what feeds the art.
How do you feel about people wanting you to extend your image? As an entertainer, a lot of people look upon you in terms of your excellence, in terms of protest songs,
yeah,
real songs, meaningful songs. And then they come to you and they say, well, we want you to take a political stand.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
We want you to support this cause. Is the artist obligated to pursue that role?
Not to me. Not to me. And I only wish that I could say no as often as I'd like to. I say yes to too many things. An entertainer is not obligated to do anything outside of what he feels is his duty as an artist. And again, he has many choices. To me, he does not owe it to anyone to take a political stand on anything. He does not owe it to anyone to sing protest songs, to do anything outside of that which his art compels him to do. And you see, art has its own rules. Art says, all right, I'm your talent, huh? Now, you don't use me, I'm going to punish you. I mean, that's the truth. And it has its own way of doing it, its own rules. But outside of that, to me, he owes no one except that his art is what he owes the rest of the world. It was given to him. He must give it back. But how he chooses to do that is what I'm concerned. It's his choice, and he owes it to no one to let them push him to make some stand about anything. His allegiance is to his art, to himself.
Mr. Hicks is hearing Night Call from Newport News, Virginia. He's listening to WHIH. Mr. Hicks?
Uh-huh.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Your question?
I would like to ask, sir.
Would you speak up, sir?
Yes. I would like to ask Miss Simone, before she performs, how does she get her material, you know, together so she can really get the people, you know, really emotional, you know, about the program? And how will she make her plans to make her songs hit them deeply in their heart and feel the movement of racial violence, you know, and try to help it?
Are you asking whether she goes through any special preparation?
Yes.
Prior to a performance?
Prior to her performance.
Well, yes, I plan a show before I do it. But then the significant part is every hall, every performance is different because every audience is different. Every concert hall is different. Every college gym is different. And I believe in the power of atmosphere, which means that 5 or 10 minutes before I go on stage, though I may have planned the program an hour before, it is subject to change 5, 10 minutes before I go on if I feel that the audience will not respond to what I have previously planned. In addition to that, sometimes on the stage, I will feel that a song that I had planned before shouldn't be sung and will insert a new one. In other words, I'll plan the program, but it's flexible. It depends on the atmosphere and the audience response and many other factors that kind of weigh out.
Yeah, because I know when you performed here last June or July, when we had the jazz festival at Hampton Institute, and I attended it both nights, and I really want to say that you gave a nice performance.
Well, thank you.
And I wrote to your, you know, when you had this performance at Carnegie Hall in December, I came to New York, And you also gave a nice performance there, even though you had to cut it short, you know, because you said, as you said, it was late. And I really think that you did give a nice performance. And since that it was in the paper here that you would be here again, I will be there, and my sister, because we really, all us here, we really do enjoy your singing.
All right.
And I want to tell you that you are a great singer.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Out to Columbus, Ohio, Mr. Rollins is hearing NICOL of WOSU. Mr. Rollins?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'm interested in requesting Ms. Simone to enumerate a little bit on what she would like to see happen, or what she expects to see happen as a result of her songs pointed at racial injustice, etc.
I am just one of the people who is sick of the social order, sick of the establishment, sick to my soul of it all. I am one of thousands, and I am simply lending my support and my voice to those voices that are already protesting, my friend. That's all.
True. There are many sources of protest at the present time. This mother's brother, Sammy Davis, etc. Injustice. The exact aims are not completely clear, and in addition, the the people to whom they are protesting is not specific in the sense that there are legislators, etc., that control the land, and at no time, or let's say at few times, are these particular people responsible for the social injustice mentioned in the protests.
You mean the people who hear the songs?
The people who hear the song might be aware of social injustice, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be affected by it.
Yeah, well, you've kind of left me now. We better start all over again.
Well, sir, are you, an artist, I think, as Ms. Simone was saying, is reflecting how the artist feels about certain things. Am I right in that?
And yes, and how the people around me are feeling. Oh, most of us are sick of it, but we don't know what to do about it. I'm in the same boat. I have no clear idea of what's going to happen. I am scared most of the time. I have no idea what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen. All I can do is expose the sickness. That's my job. I am as scared as you are.
That's the point. The fright that exists among people like myself living in communal areas where emotion of the people aroused by such wonderful performers as yourself could lead to who knows what. And as a result, do you feel that you are lending more to unrest or actual effective accomplishment of solving the problem of injustice in society?
There is no solution to it as such at this time, and you know it. My duty, my job, and it is an unpleasant one as far as I'm concerned, is simply to expose the sore, expose the illness, as these entertainers you mentioned and other people are doing. These young kids who protest, they know they want it to change. There isn't time enough to think about planning. You know, we know what we'd like, and I'm what I would like is what everybody else would like, but I'm not going to go into that. That would hang me. But I am, again, and I leave it this way, protesting along with the other millions of people who are doing it. And I am getting to thousands of people at one time, because to me, America society is nothing but a cancer. And it must be exposed before it can be cured. I am not the doctor to cure it, however, sugar.
So that your exposure of the cancer within the society doesn't necessarily cure the malignancy?
No, of course not. That's why we're all scared.
But does it point up any treatment for the malignancy?
No, I don't. I don't, that's for other people to do. That's for the legislators and people who are much more educated in politics and what makes the society go round. It's for them to determine what the cure is. It is for me to protest, to let them know that it's not two together now.
Politicians.
No, that's not what I'm saying. No, 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 not directed at politicians. Words again, you're hanging me. Let's assume that I was not an entertainer, but that I was one of those people on a college campus who was in the riots. Then you see my position. I would be no more effective or no less effective than those college kids who are protesting all over the country now.
Another good point. Do you feel that these individuals are as effective as you are as an entertainer?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. I think they're more. Because, you see, the whole college, the whole, how do you say it, Dale? The whole, the United States... Period. All of the colleges, the kids are sick of the order. I mean, there's millions of kids now in on this thing. They certainly have more effect and more power than I as an entertainer. At least I feel so.
Perhaps physically more power, but as far as pull, as far as power to be heard by other than the neighborhood police and the newspapers, I think that you have more power as an entertainer. Let's take, for example, the Smothers Brothers, heard by innumerable people.
Mr. Yes. Rollins, I'm sorry, but time has run out of us. Thank you very much for calling, sir.
Certainly. Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York, and tonight my guest, Ms. Nina Simone, will return following station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Nina Simone after station identification. Next week on Night Call, Del Shields with his guests, the author of $100 Misunderstanding, novelist Bob Gover and friend, youth program manager for the National Alliance of Businessmen, Mr. Brian Horan, Lieutenant Governor Paul Simon of Illinois, former New York Post foreign columnist and Norman Mailer's running mate in the New York City mayoral race, Jimmy Breslin, and psychiatrist on the faculty of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, Dr. Charles Socarides. Monday, prostitution with novelist Bob Gover and friend. Tuesday, do summer jobs keep kids out of trouble with youth program manager Brian Horan. Wednesday, what's going on in Cairo, Illinois with Lieutenant Governor Simon. Thursday, exposing the heart of a city with columnist Jimmy Breslin. And Friday, the homosexual problem with psychiatrist Dr. Charles Socarides. All this next week on Night Call. Speak for yourself from anywhere in North America to guest singer Nina Simone about music's role in social change. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on 212-749-3311. From the West, 212-749-4300. And from the New York area, 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
Nina, there are those people who look at entertainers and feel that entertainers should not shock the audience, not move them or motivate them to think in any way, that an entertainer's role should be just that of a kind of a bland, happy period of time where people can go in and escape. But when we watch Nina Simone on stage, we see a woman who is terribly and very deeply involved. Are you greatly concerned with whether people come to see you as an entertainer, whether people come to see you to get a message or to be moved or motivated in any way?
No, I'm not concerned one way or the other. All I know is what I have to do when I'm on stage, and that's what I do. I don't care what their attitude is before they come to see me. Really, as long as they don't give me a hard time by talking too loudly or distracting the other people from listening, as long as it's not in a nightclub where I'm competing with the liquor. I don't care too much what their attitude is before they come to see me. What is important to me is when they leave, if I've gotten through to them about how I feel.
How do you know if you've gotten through?
I never know, really. I never know. But you see, I have to live with Nina. And that is very difficult at times, in that it's like when you have a job to do, when you have a duty, something you consider a duty, then you must do that. And you, when it is done, you feel you've done your job. It's that simple to me. So when I go home after a performance and feel like I have done my damnedest to communicate what I was feeling, what I was trying to do, then I'm at peace with myself. I hope they've gotten it, and I hope they're moved. And of course, I always know when people come backstage and or they, you know, send me letters and things like that, then I know I've gotten through to some of them. But the main thing is how I feel about me when it's all over. Have I done what I set out to do? And most of all, have I reached somebody? It would crush me, of course, if I were to find out that it was just a dud. But it's no way of knowing that any more than it's any way of knowing how much you've really moved the people. It's a hard question.
We'll take our next call from New Jersey. Mr. Frank is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Mr. Frank?
Barbie is the name.
I beg your pardon, sir?
No, the name, last name is Barbie.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. That's Mr. Barbie. Right.
Yeah. Nina? Miss Long?
Yes.
My name is Barbie. I'm a first sergeant in the Army, and I've been in the Army for 25 years. And I don't want to ask you any questions. I just want to tell you that whenever I hear you or whenever I see you, that I get the message. And you can really believe that you touch a lot of people, baby.
Thank you.
That's right. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Puttle is hearing Night Call of WFCR. He's calling in from Vermont. Mr. Puttle?
Yes. Ms. Simone?
Yes.
I've been curious to know what your appetite is about jazz, about instrumental jazz, and what your preferences were, and if you've felt an inclination at any time just to play instrumental music, because I know you're a very good pianist.
Oh, yes. I'm crazy about jazz, and I have several. I greatly admire the Giants, and I go and see as often as I can Monk and Miles and Dizzy, and listen to Billy all the time, and Coltrane sometimes helps me get through big crises at home. Just put him on when I'm feeling very uptight and listen to him about 2 hours, and I sometimes get tremendous relief. So like jazz to me is like a way of life, and I would like it sometime to make maybe an album of just instrumental music, but that's difficult. There's always all kinds of pressures in this business. You have no way of knowing how much, and there's never enough time to prepare a good presentation of let's say jazz, and so I haven't had the time to get it together. I just hope sometime in the next 15-20 years I'll be able to make a good instrumental album that I can be proud of.
I see. Do you have any particular feelings about protest jazz? Is it against swinging jazz?
No. Well, you got me there. I don't know what protest jazz is at all. You really got me that time. I only know about protest songs, the likes of which I sing, but I don't know about protest jazz. Do you, Del? I mean, I'm just not familiar with. I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, sort of angry jazz, I guess.
You mean avant-garde jazz? We're hung up with words again.
What is angry jazz, sir? Mr. Puttle?
Well, I don't know. The first name that comes to mind is Archie Shepp.
Why do you say that's angry jazz?
And
Why do you say Archie Shepp's music is angry jazz?
Well, that's the impression I get from his group and from other people. You know, they're just kind of using their horns to express their anger.
Well, that puts that in the same category as my protest songs, huh? I just don't see jazz as being... To me, Mr. Puddle, if I put different words to Mississippi, it would be nothing but a Broadway song. You know, you're familiar with my Mississippi Goddamn?
Yeah.
If there were different words and you just listen to the music, you know, it would just be a Broadway tune that you've heard many times before. Four Women without the words, if it were just played and not sung, would be kind of like a Haitian chant. So to me, what makes my protest songs are the lyrics. So that you really hang me, because no jazz could be is protest jazz. I'm just not with that at all. I'm sorry,
Mr. Puddle. Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you very much.
This time out to Omaha, Nebraska, Mr. Harrod is hearing Nyquil over KBON. Mr. Harrod?
Yes, Del.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My question for Miss Simone. She speaks with great authority, of course, because of her talent.
That's all, my friend.
But against the establishment, and so many people are against the establishment, but so few define it.
Really, that's true.
And I think that I personally support the establishment, but I'm not really sure what I'm supporting. Nor am I sure what the protesters are protesting against. What is your interpretation, Miss Simone?
That's a very good question, and I'm kind of glad you posed it, because now I can tell all of you something. You see this media here? This is a radio.
Surely.
Yeah? We have radio, television, telephones, tape recorders. We have mass media now. And there's a tightrope that a colored person walks in this world. I suppose white people do too. But even now, in trying to be honest, I cannot tell you but so much of what I genuinely feel and wouldn't dare, my friend. Because the media takes it and throws it out there. And if you're not careful, you fall right into a pit. So, like, I'm hedging, even tonight, with all the things I say, I won't say but so much of what I genuinely feel about anything. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
You understand that?
I believe I do. I haven't lived it, but I believe I do.
You know, it's a tightrope we walk. As things get easier for us, as I can be a little bit more sure that I'm going to live tomorrow, I'll say a little bit more. But right now, I have to hedge and hedge and say just what I know the media is going to interpret correctly and not throw back in my face tomorrow, maybe.
Right. The establishment, in my opinion, and I think I support it, but I believe that my understanding of it is political. Not so much racial as I believe you understand it.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that some of our difficulties, both... with white protests and black protests, maybe perhaps because of a misunderstanding of what we are protesting against. Do you believe that you are protesting against racial injustice when you use the term establishment? And do I believe that I'm defending a political system when I speak or hear the term establishment? Do you understand my question?
Yes.
My paradox.
Yes. Mine is 90% racial. That's my stand. I don't know anything about politics. I didn't even know the definition really of the word till about 10 years ago, when you're busy fighting rats and things like that, and eating, trying to eat the next day, and just barely making it. You know that somewhere somebody's controlling the strings, but you don't, you have no idea of what role politics play in this. And so I am completely ignorant about that side of it.
You know? Well, what bothers me about the attacks on the establishment is the attacks against an establishment without a replacement. criticism without constructive criticism.
Well, you see, that's, you know, you would there we run into definition of words again. Usually constructive criticism, as far as I'm concerned, means something that pleases everybody. You know, then they will agree that it's constructive. That's into something else again, you know.
We're on America, but, I understand.
But can we not assume, though, at the same time, that if the government is so tremendously equipped and so well equipped with so many things, and since the government has proven that it can solve many, many problems, that if we criticize the establishment, that we expect that through our criticism that the government or the establishment might address itself to these wrongs and correct them. And I think another thing, when we talk about the establishment, I think one of the big problems facing the country is the fact that the country is at war, though it is an undeclared war, and yet we are asked to support our country, right or wrong.
Thank you, Dan.
And nobody has ever has answered this question. Now, if you have not been affected by it in the beginning, very few of our boys were killed in Vietnam, so nobody really was concerned except those who were directly affected. Now, as we've gotten thousands of boys over there, and we find that the rate of killing of these young men has gotten so high, we now are becoming affected by it, and now we're asking for answers.
Yes.
So the dilemma is there. Now, it would seem to us, again, I think if we go back to the space program, if we could complete the space program in 10 years, and if you fly over this country, and I think I've done this for the last couple of weeks, and I've seen so many beautiful, wide open areas of grass and beautiful earth, and we see how millions of people are just, you know, crowded in the cities, and we say, look, we know the government can do something about this, or the establishment can, but the establishment refuses to do it.
Yes.
Well, he clarifies what I couldn't say.
Are suggesting that we do this, or are they?
I think the protesters are saying, look, a change has to come about. I think much of the dilemma is that nobody knows what to do.
But if the change is to withdraw from Vietnam, for example, without knowing what the consequences of that single act are.
How are you going to know that?
Well
is it
protest, we should, in my opinion. Before we attack without an alternative course.
I think we know what the consequences are. I think the problem is whether or not we want to accept the consequences. And the consequences, whether or not America will suffer a loss of image. We have never lost a war in the history of this country. Whether or not we are grown up and mature enough, like France, to just pull on out and say, look, we had it. We made a mistake.
I'm thinking generations beyond, perhaps. Mm. Not merely an image. Goodness knows, I'm not for costing American lives to support an image. But if we withdraw and then in 10, 15, 20 years wind up with a world for which we never bargained in America.
One must take chances in this life. You know, one must take chances.
I think the real key word, Del, was that you said we are faced with the paradox, and none of us knows.
But we have to try to find the answers.
We do.
Right. Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. Our guest tonight, Miss Nina Simone. We will return following station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Nina Simone after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, Migrants to the Ghetto with Del Shields and his guest, Mexican-American political leader Corky Gonzalez. In the Southwest, they call it barrio, Spanish for a slum and a ghetto, a rural as well as an urban Harlem. The Mexican-American farmers of the Southwest barrios are migrating to the slums of the North's congested cities, and a whole new set of problems crop up on top of the ones they are escaping from. No money, no jobs, higher prices, temporary lodgings instead of permanent homes. But the migrants' reaction to these conditions is changing too, both in Delano and Detroit. They are no longer all accepting poor. Notions of the strike and the union, La Raza and brown power are taking hold. The days of the meekly submissive peon seems to be numbered. What can be done? What must be done? Migrants to the Ghetto with Corky Gonzalez, tomorrow night on Night Call. Speak for yourself from anywhere in North America to guest singer Nina Simone about music's role in social change. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on 212-749-3311. From the West, 212-749-4300. And from the New York area, 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And once again with our guest, Miss Nina Simone, here in our studio in New York. Nina, the previous caller was stating that talking, I think, or exploring a bit about the dilemma in terms of the establishment. And as we talk about the media, I think that there has to be a problem in this country when we are on an open microphone and we cannot really say the things
yes,
that we want
that,
to say.
That's a problem. And it's true, though. I mean, it's really true.
Well, we've experienced that. We have experienced right here on the Night Call Show where we attempt to develop a dialogue between blacks and whites. And we have suffered the loss of stations where they have not been happy with some of the dialogue.
And you know that you must make them happy. That's present in your mind all the time. Even as you speak, you know that you're not but so free to really come out and say what you've got to say. It doesn't matter what the program. It is a fact, Dale. And one is conscious of it all the time. And so that makes really meaningful communication almost impossible. Almost, you know. I walk that, you know, it's not easy. All of a sudden, all your life you've been told you got to play a role because if you let anybody know who you really are, you might not survive. And then all of a sudden somebody tells you, you don't have to play that role anymore. That's not true. The media still takes over. There's danger here because there are millions of people listening. You are responsible for everything you say. And I walk that tightrope, which means that when I get off the air and we start talking, now then you'll say, well, why, Nina, why didn't you say that on the air? I'll tell you then, because the freedom is there. I know, you know, that I'm not being picked up every minute and interpreted a million different ways. That's a tremendous responsibility, and I run from it to some degree. What I really feel and what I am, I say in my songs, and I will use that platform more than any. I don't like to talk about the problem too much at all, because you know I'm.
Well, is it that people do not want an artist to be free, or is it that they have certain preconceived ideas as to what an artist should be?
That's part of it right there. And most artists, and it's not just, artists, people in the entertainment world, actors, actresses, poets, writers, painters, people like myself, we most of the time, and again, me too, I just want to say what I feel really on that stage. And the impact, the emotions carried with the songs say all I've got to say. That's how people know how I really feel. It's not by the words I say. You know, the things when I talk like this, only half of it's coming out. But you get me on the stage, and I sing for women, then you say, oh, that's what she meant. All of a sudden, it's deeper. It's much more meaningful. It reaches deeper because microphones, radios, and televisions scare me.
Well, if you're free to talk about happy things or things that are accepted, there is no problem.
No, of course, never any problem. Like I've been saying for 10, 12 years that I know about, I used to say to a psychiatrist friend of mine, I'd say, you know, it's funny, there's always a place to put joy. There's always a recipient for joy and beautiful, happy, gay things. But don't you start talking about hate. Nobody. There is no outlet for hate. There is hardly any outlet for tears. Nobody wants any part of those things. There's hardly any, and nobody wants to hear about those things. These are nonetheless emotions that should be dealt with and should have some kind of outlet.
Miss Graves is hearing Night Call. She's calling too from Norfolk, Virginia. She's hearing Night Call over WHIH. Miss Graves? Miss Graves? Yes, we have a bad line there. This is Night Call in New York, and our guest here in our studio is Miss Nina Simone. So, Nina, it's my feeling then that when you are going to face the media, that it is never a completely free thing.
No, Never, except when I'm singing. Except when I'm singing, and occasionally, I've done several interviews with you before, and when it, and of course times are tighter now, more people are more uptight, things are more crucial than ever, so one must be more responsible and more careful than ever of what one says, especially when you know that hundreds and thousands of people are listening to you, and this makes me even more uptight when I get before a mic, but not on stage.
Well, do you feel the media has been responsible for influencing people to this degree that they are unable to be objective in viewing as well as listening?
Yes, I do. And television, ooh, Dale, you ever count the how many televisions you got in your house?
One that isn't working.
Well, what I mean is that the media has just taken over, influences the minds of children more than ever. They actually think those things they see on television every day are real. It is the thing. And so one has to respect its power and how it interprets what you are saying or look at its coverage of the riots and things. I mean, really, look at how my people turned out looking on TV. Dig it sometime. And that little machine sits there and doesn't say one word, you know. And you say, like, I may be talking some far-out stuff, but there are people who have thought about this. And this, the media, and really, I respect it and what it can do to people's emotions and how they feel. And it's more powerful now than ever. And it gets me really uptight.
And I think one said that television is a very intimate medium that, you know, goes right into the home. It kind of becomes a part of people,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the movies, which is generally like bigger than life, and people can escape into kind of a fantasy world and sit back and look at this huge screen, and they know this is make-believe.
Right, they know that. They can tell that difference. But with television being so much a part of a person now, children are the best examples. They actually think that stuff is real, you know. It's become a part. What I'm trying to say is that thin line between reality and fantasy is closing. And to me, so much of it has to do with the media. People believe the things they read in the paper. People believe what they hear on TV. They believe it. And that's dangerous.
Let's take a call from Miami, Florida. Do we have enough time? All right, we'll take this call from Miami. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Your question, sir.
Yes, I'd like to ask, Ms. Simone, what is the exact role of the black composer in America today?
Well, I think Dale kind of asked that question before, and I said then that that depends on his sense of responsibility. To me, an artist has the right not to be involved in politics. He has the right to do what his art compels him to do, whatever that is. He has no role except one that he takes upon himself, whatever that is, if that answers your question.
Mr. Shepherd, I'm sorry, but time is running on this. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
This is Night Call in New York, and Nina, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, Migrants to the Ghetto with political leader Corky Gonzalez. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.